This is another combination of our weekly Professional F podcast and our regular Tuesday No Fair Remembering Stuff podcast because holy crap, Chuck Todd! And it's available wherever you get your podcasts and at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a Patreon button at that website, or you could mail us a letter and or contribution at The Professional F Podcast, P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
And it's not safe for work.
And we're dropping this episode a day early because we reminded ourselves that once upon a time we had sworn off doing reviews of the Sunday shows because they're always awful. But
just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
As most of you know, for the better part of two decades, I, your gracious co-host, ran a feature on my blog called Sunday Morning Coming Down, which was a regular weekly rundown of how America's most prestigious political talk shows were failing us. And over time, I gradually tapered off because, let's face it, after a while, it was just poking a dead possum with a stick. It's not playing. It's really dead. It's starting to smell. So why bother? But every now and then, something weird happens. Something which, to the uninitiated, can appear as though the Beltway Media had learned a lesson of some kind. That the now long dead possum is somehow, some way staggering back to its feet. I can assure you this is never the case. Instead, what you're seeing when this happens is a kind of media postmortem flatulence, the decomposing husk of the media twitching and farting as if there were something journalistic-y still going on inside there. And that's what happened this week on Meet the Press, and that's what's got everyone's panties in a bunch.
But first, let's take a step back so that we understand what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Meet the Press, which is the show we're talking about today, is a weekly network broadcast TV show that is aired by NBC. It's also re-aired by MSNBC.
That's right.
Now, NBC and MSNBC are subsidiaries of NBC Universal News Group. NBC Universal News Group is a subsidiary of NBC Universal Media Group. NBC Universal Media Group is the television and streaming division of NBC Universal Media, LLC. Are you starting to see a trend here?
Yes, I am.
NBC Universal Media, LLC is a subsidiary of Comcast.
Your cable provider. Isn't that neat?
Isn't that neato? And of course, there are very important, well-paid executives throughout each one of these levels. Now, last year, Comcast made, and we're not making this up, $121.6 billion.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, is exactly what the Professional Left podcast made this week, if you take off the billion part.
That's right. Just drop the billion, and that's what we netted this week. So we're catching up.
We're catching up bit by bit. And as every 30 Rock fan knows, the whole shebang is owned by Shinehart Wigs. Jack Donaghy breaks it all down for you here.
You see, GE owns Kitchen All of Colorado, which in turn owns JMI of Stanford, which is a majority shareholder in PokerFastLane.com, which recently acquired the Shinehart Wig Company, which owns NBC outright. NBC owns Winnipeg Ironworks, which owns the Okchanagi Party Meats Corporation of Pyongyang, North Korea, and they will make the meat machine.
All of which is to say that NBC, Comcast, whatever, is a very large corporation. And all those people you see in front of NBC cameras, every single one of them are merely employees of that very large corporation.
Yeah, keep that in mind. That very large corporation that we're talking about sells a lot of different products and services, right? It sells cloud computing and cybersecurity and in-home fiber optic systems. And way, way, way down the list of those products are TV shows. And way, way, way down the list of TV shows is a little show called Meet the Press, which many people mistake for a news show that does journalism But it isn't. That's not what it is. It is a news simulacra. As Velveeta is technically not really cheese, but rather a processed cheese product, Meet the Press is not news, but rather a synthetic news-like product. And every week on Meet the Press, various well-paid performers put on costumes and stage a news-like performance. This is what historian Thomas Zimmer refers to as neutrality theater. Like a stage play or puppet show, everyone knows their role and plays their part. And in between the segments, various advertisers pay NBC, Comcast, whatever, a very large sum of money to run ads for Skyrizi and reverse mortgages and so forth. That's how everyone involved in this project gets paid. So in this marketplace, what exactly is being sold and to whom? Is news the product? Nope, it is definitely not the product. Are Skyrizi and reverse mortgage ads the product? Nope, those are not the products.
I know what the product is, Driftglass. We're the product.
Damn right we're the product.
Our attention, our eyeballs, we, the audience, are being sold to the advertisers. Ergo, the bigger the audience, the bigger the payday.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, the smaller the audience, the smaller the payday. This is why a 30-second Super Bowl ad costs $7 million and an ad for a local body shop on local television costs $9 and a Whitman sampler box of chocolate. Now, it is true that the audience is segmented. And yes. So, the Sunday shows still get an older, wealthier group of people who are primed for pharmaceutical ads, right?
That's
the core market for that kind of ad.
We have definitely noticed this.
Yes, we have definitely noticed this.
Uh-huh.
But it's still diminishing advertising revenue for these Sunday shows.
Shrinking.
This is from the Washington Post, September 18th, 2022, quote, "Can the Sunday morning talk show be saved? After declining ratings and an exodus of VIP guests, these Washington institutions are looking for ways to tweak an old format. Trump established the reality that he could address a very large audience very quickly just by using his thumbs alone on Twitter," says Mark Lukasiewicz, a former ABC and NBC News executive who is now dean of Hofstra University's Communication School. "The Sunday shows are no longer the gatekeepers for political conversations on TV. They were born at a time when politicians needed TV to reach their audience. That's far less true today. The number of younger viewers, the 25 to 54 age group valued highly by advertisers, has dropped by one-third, weakening the show's financial viability. Fox News Sunday and Meet the Press, which each lost about a quarter of their audience over the past 4 years, have both been doing some tinkering, too."
Yeah.
Unquote.
That's why MSNBC Meet the Press Now came into existence. There's just all these little attempts to try to goose this thing along so it'll make more money in this losing market. So media corporations like MSNBC, NBC, Comcast, whatever, try out all kinds of terrible ideas because they're not in the journalism business. Very important. They're not in the democracy business. They're in the maximizing advertising profits in a shrinking market business. So if you listen carefully to this clip from Mad Men and you swap out the words client and creative and swap in the words democracy and journalism, then man, Duck Phillips has it just about right.
"I find myself a little unprepared here, but I know this. I'd like to bring this company into financial maturity. The last 2 years, we've been held back. Good creative is important, but it can't be running the show. Our business is about buying time and space, and right now that means television. The bigger we are, the cheaper we can get it."
"I don't think I heard the word client once."
"Well, Bert, when the economy is good, people buy things. And when it's bad, they don't. There's no reason for us to be tied to creative's fantasies of persuasion."
And if you're in the business of maximizing profits in a shrinking market for synthetic news-like products, I love your Velveeta analogy.
It's right there, man.
"And the market for right-wing garbage is already saturated. And your network executives love their Republican tax cuts for rich people and, frankly, just plain hate the left with the heat of a thousand suns. what is there left to exploit but a non-existent center where conservatives are scattered around here and there like throw pillows to let the wingnuts know they're being heard and mm-hmm. also to make them not be outraged at you all the time.
That's right.
And there are enough pure blood, both siderists around wringing their hands about the extremes on both sides. Also, I'm an independent.
Mm-hmm.
To make the cowards in the middle feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the irony of that is the cowards in the middle don't give a shit about news.
No.
watching news programs. So, you know, they avoid politics like the plague. So the idea that you're marketing to this great middle is nonsense.
You're marketing to the notion of the center.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
an actual. Jonathan Haidt, I believe HAIGHT or HAIITH.
HAIIDT. Yeah, today.
Today on the social media was like complaining that, you know, it's the 20% on either end of the extreme or the 15% that has left the 70% of us in the center feeling homeless. And he just, of course, got raked over the coals by all of our friends, all of our both sides don't friends going, what the fuck are you talking about? One side are fascists. The other side would like to lower healthcare costs and, you know, keep Social Security around. But you feel politically homeless because you don't have a conscience. All you care about is the mathematical function that will allow you to continue to pretend there's a viable center and the extremes on both sides are the problem. And that's what keeps you employed in the job that you have, which is pretending there's this thing and marketing to it. Anyway, what about the left, Blue Gal? What about us?
Fuck the left, you're of glass.
Yeah, that's pretty much their attitude, isn't it?
Have I mentioned that network executives hate liberals with the heat of 1,000 suns?
Yeah.
Primarily because of their unpredictability. Uh-huh. They don't talk about tax cuts, and they get people mad about the past.
Don't want that.
Republicans' past of lying America into war with the help of a complicit media that profited off of that war, stealing Supreme Court seats.
You know, shit like that.
Stuff like that. That's yeah. really inconvenient when you've got to go to a Sky Rizzi commercial.
Specifically, the past that these people were complicit in.
Right, right.
They don't want to talk about
it off of. Exactly, like yeah. I said. Yeah. So instead of putting on liberals to talk about the long, ugly trajectory of the GOP that led them from Nixon to Trump, they repurpose a tiny handful of Republicans who have been run out of the party over the last few years. So instead of Digby, Sam Seder, David Pakman, Hal Sparks, who has air presence, personality,
yep.
good looks, you know, can talk in time segments and be ready to break for commercial.
And has encyclopedias of knowledge at his
lots of television experience.
Yes.
A lot and is better on television by a factor of 1,000
yeah.
than Ron McDaniel.
Absolutely.
What you get instead is, and I know you put me in that list, Driftglass, next to Digby. I didn't want to do that. What you get is Charlie Sykes, Tom Nichols, Bill Kristol, Amanda Carpenter, and Matthew Dowd, all with their incredibly inconvenient pasts and deleted Twitter accounts,
mm-hmm.
Washed Simon pure by the narcotic magic of television and the amnesia of the general public.
And even though we've been documenting it for decades and fighting against it for decades, the truth of the matter is it's working. It works. Mm-hmm. It works mm-hmm. great. This is from me from what I refer to as 1,000 internet years ago. It just feels that way. This is from me from November 15th, 2018. Quote, Donald Trump exists to normalize Bill Kristol.
Mm-hmm.
After Trump, cable news debates will be between Charlie Sykes, Rick Wilson, and National Review on one side, Eric Bolling, Hugh Hewitt, Breitbart on the other, and they'll be moderated by Joe Scarborough. Liberals will vanish altogether, unquote. And that's almost completed.
That's exactly what's happening. Yep.
That's exactly what happened. And that is exactly what people like us were warning about. Once you let these people colonize the media and call the shots about who gets in and who doesn't anymore, the people who were right all along will no longer be heard from. So who's to blame for all this, right? Where do you point the finger? Well, frankly, the audience is to blame because NBC, Comcast, whatever, does this kind of shit all the time. And there never really are any consequences, are there? Yeah. However fondly the masses may recall St. Tim Russert, he was really bad enough on that job at Meet the Press that he was Dick Cheney's preferred guy for spreading lies and propaganda. And when Tim Russert died, they put David Gregory in that big chair, and he was fucking awful, just awful. I know because I wrote 150 posts about how awful he was every goddamn week. And at the end of his run, they replaced him with Chuck Todd, who was worse in exactly the same way. I know this because I wrote 200 posts about Chuck Todd over 8 years, actually probably more like 1,000. After 8 years of Todd, they replaced him with Kristen Welker, who was worse still, also in exactly the same way. They threw a huge bag of money at Megyn Kelly. Remember that? Megyn Kelly got a shitload of money, and she bombed, but she got to keep the money. Now, you and I are going to repeat the phrase, they learned nothing, several times in the next few minutes as a head fake to our listeners, because it isn't really strictly true, but please bear with us while we indulge ourselves in this little word game.
Over at Little Brother Network MSNBC, are we the only ones who remember the failed, maybe they'll blame us for going too far right?
Mm-hmm.
That ad campaign was just blew our minds.
Yeah.
From which MSNBC learned nothing. Brian Williams came and went and they learned nothing. Mark Halperin came and went and they learned nothing. Chris Matthews came and went and they learned nothing. Steve Schmidt came and went and came and went. And then he came and went and they learned nothing. And they gave Hugh Hewitt his own show. First of all, they had him on in a remarkable segment during the Republican convention of 2016. And then they gave him his own show and it bombed and Hewitt came and went and they learned nothing. They at MSNBC gave Greta Van Susteren her own show and even had network superstar Rachel Maddow push the hell out of it. Oh, she's my friend. This is going to be great. We're so glad to have her.
She's awesome.
And her show bombed and Van Susteren came and went and they learned nothing. Except, you know what, Driftglass? They did learn something.
Yes, they sure did.
I'm wrong.
Yes,
they learned how passive and docile their core audience is over the long haul. And that, yeah, they'll turn off Hugh Hewitt or they won't tune in for Hugh Hewitt, but they'll keep tuning in for everything else.
Right.
And you can make a huge mistake in hiring and you can absolutely piss on your audience leg and call it warm spring rain. And yeah, some audience members will make a complaint on social media about it and be a little loud, but in the end, they'll come back and their big mad will fade away. And this is true of us, too.
Sure. Now, this is our job to keep track of the media and document this stuff and pass this information along to you with our commentary attached to it and give you a vocabulary to understand what it is you're watching and why it sucks so hard and why it will never get fixed. But yeah, this is the problem. There, for all the talk, I'm going to boycott NBC. That never happens. It never happens. And they never learn anything. And so they just keep doing it. And after all, where else are they going to go? I mean, for their news, where do liberals go? Where are Democrats going to go? To the blogs? Are you kidding me? To the radio? Radio? Are you nuts? To Democracy Now? Sorry, blogs are dead. I know I'm a blogger and blogs are dead. Liberal radio is dead. I mean, I know Stephanie Miller does a fine job. I listen to her from time to time. There's a couple of voices here and there, but by and large, liberal radio is dead. And Democracy Now, as wonderful as it is somewhere north of station 975 if Comcast cable carries it at all in your area. So let's face it.
I got nowhere else to go! I got nowhere else to go!
And now, for a mere $300,000... they picked up Ronna Romney McDaniel. Now, that's sofa cushion money for NBC, Comcast, whatever. That is literally 1/100th of the price they paid for the Megyn Kelly fiasco, which is why I said they just ought to Megyn Kelly her. Just buy out her contract. It's nothing.
It's nothing.
Get rid of it. Pretend it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very low risk with a decent potential upside, just like that other former RNC chair they picked up on the cheap, Michael Steele. Now they'll have a match set, Driftglass. And you can't just, you know, imagine this. The ladies who lunch talking about, oh, Ronna, it's going to be so great. We'll have you on. Let's get a salad and talk about what you'll be doing for us across all platforms. And of course, then the boozy corporate pitch meeting, where all the executives thought, oh, this is a great idea. This is going to work out great. We're really excited.
We'll have more RNC chairs on our staff than anyone else. And we can have
They'll have to accuse us again of moving too far to the right.
Ha 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 ha.
After all, outside of a few gripes from nobody liberal bloggers and podcasters, MSNBC audiences have been nice and pliable when it comes to the colonization of the network with former Republicans. Michael Steele is still a completely amoral grifter and a Republican, and remains a reliable both-siderist who always fills his time with at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
Because his job is to get you to the Sky Rizzi commercial.
That's right.
And he and Charlie Sykes, let me tell you, this week, Charlie Sykes spent an entire segment saying, I don't know.
We just don't, at the end of the day.
You know, at the end of the day, given all the evidence we have, we just don't know what's going to happen. Right.
Okay.
And then we got to squeeze in a break. Nicole Wallace says, squeeze it in. So he was once, what the fuck is Michael Steele doing on my liberal TV? But now he's a hero of the resistance, strip class.
Because
he's willing to say that Republican Party is a bunch of poopy heads.
That's right. Although Democrats are bad, too.
Democrats are bad, too, you know.
Democrats are bad,
right.
too.
Not long ago, Bloody Bill Kristo was the wrongest man in America, according to a very funny segment by MSNBC superstar Rachel Maddow. I mean, she just went on and on and on about how wrong Bill Kristo was about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now Maddow is semi-retired from MSNBC, and Kristo is the beloved kooky uncle who drops by every now and then to trash Trump and yuck it up with rapper Fat Joe on Ari Melber's The Beat. Because that's funny.
That's funny. Yeah, look how
the
funny
old
they are.
White guy from the Bush administration on with a rapper.
Yeah, it's funny. How am I going to say the Odd Couple? But they get along and they smile.
You know,
and they like
they've
each other.
Had each
great.
Other's back at the end of the day. That's at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, it's so great. We all get along like.
I mean, really take a drink every time Michael Steele says at the end of the day. I swear to God. And, you know, they're just there talking about the good old days. But this weekend, Drift Glass.
Yeah.
When NBC News rolled out its newest edition, Ronna McDaniel, things took a turn. And you have a different perspective on this than anybody.
I do.
Know.
I do. And for $1.95 an hour, $1.95 a minute, the first minute's free. Well, I will whisper into your ear.
No,
what
you're
going to
tell everybody for free on our podcast right now.
Of course I will. But yeah, it took a turn, didn't it? Because
it did.
First came the rollout with this note to network staff by NBC News Senior Vice President of Politics, Carrie Butoff Brown. This is on Friday. This is not 20 Fridays ago. This was just this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, it couldn't be a more important moment to have a voice like Ronna's on the team. She will contribute her expertise, insight, and analysis on American politics and the 2024 election. Note this sentence, across all NBC News platforms. As we gear up for the longest general election season in recent memory, she will support our leading coverage by providing an insider's perspective on national politics and on the future of the Republican Party, which she led through some of the most turbulent and challenging moments in political history. Unquote.
Challenging moments.
Very challenging. The turbulent.
That's what she calls it, huh?
Turbulent and challenging. I can think of some T words and some C words to describe it, but it certainly isn't turbulent and challenging. Now, what this meant, in terms of tactics, in terms of logistics, was that Kristen Welker's already incredibly ill-advised interview with serial liar McDaniel on Meet the Press was no longer an interview of a former RNC chair. Instead, it was now an interview with Welker's newest bestest buddy colleague. And as we know, one of the iron rules of the Beltway media is thou shalt not talk shit about thy colleagues at the same company ever, ever, ever. It's the club. We don't talk mean about fellow members of the club. So here comes Ronna McDaniel, and what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then came the blowback.
Yeah.
Which apparently blew in from every direction.
Yeah.
My own little tweet, and all that tweet had in it was a picture of the New York Times article announcing Ronna McDaniel's hiring and the words, are you fucking kidding me? And that little tweet got, for me, an extremely high 664 likes and 175 retweets.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember anything I've done that doing better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the response... People needing to hear that, are you fucking kidding me, and endorsing that response to it was for me very high. And then, I mean, this all happened in one weekend, but right. the turnabout and the walk back started almost right away from Vanity Fair. This is just 2 days after the announcement, quote, Ronna McDaniel won't be appearing on MSNBC.
What?
Intense internal backlash has followed NBC News hiring of the former RNC chair as political analyst. And I would just bet you that several primetime hosts went into the office together of Rashida Jones and said, not on my show.
Yeah.
Period.
And the thing to keep in mind, not you, Blue Gal, because you're very smart and you understand this, or really anyone who's listening to this, because you're all very smart, is how fucking clueless you had to be, how completely oblivious to what a disaster you are creating by doing this, were the executives. Because remember, they're not in the news or democracy business.
Right.
They're in the selling you your audience eyeballs to advertisers business. They're in the selling a product in the shrinking market business. And this was a market decision. We bought ourselves a cheap RNC chair, and now we're going to exploit her for viewership. And that's going to work out great. Everyone's going to love it. Except, no.
Nope. Just days after NBC News announced it was hiring Ronna McDaniel as a political analyst, MSNBC's president, Rashida Jones, told employees that the former Republican National Committee chairwoman won't be contributing on air to the cable network. The Wall Street Journal reported Saturday. Now, remember, the announcement that she had been hired was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday night, Rashida Jones got a lot of phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the decision to hire McDaniel was met with intense public backlash. Critics pointed to her close ties to Trump and I think this is so important, her behind-the-scenes role in his attempt to overturn the 2020 election, particularly in Michigan, where she may still be indicted.
Yeah. Yep.
That's her home state where she knows everybody in the state Republican Party. And the words, we'll get you lawyers, to the false
electors.
Electors.
Yeah.
The fake electors. Oh, we'll get you lawyers. That came out of her mouth.
So will NBC get her lawyers when she's
indicted?
Yeah,
that'd be good.
That'd be great.
Just pay her off. If you pay her 100% of her contract, she has nothing to complain about. The Wall Street Journal reported that a number of MSNBC anchors and producers have voiced concern internally. No, they called Rashida Jones and screamed at her. Some current and former contributors and employees have also gone public. On Friday, MSNBC columnist Marissa Cabas posted on social media a screenshot of an email she sent to Brown, in which she encouraged her to reconsider the hire. Quote, as columnists, we are held to strict standards of factuality and truth and are expected to have a fundamental understanding of our democracy. They're not in the democracy business.
They aren't. They don't understand it. They really don't.
Yeah. McDaniel has proven time and again that she adheres to none of those values. But that wasn't the point. But still, okay. Then, and this interrupted our breakfast on Sunday.
Yeah, it did.
Came this from former Meet the Press host Chuck Todd.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, you know, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told me we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. That's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial independence.
Now, the only thing that could have stopped this would be the president of Comcast or the president of NBC coming out with like Dwight Eisenhower's "The D-Day invasion has failed and it's all my fault" speech. Mm-hmm. A massive public sword-falling apology for fucking up this badly and insulting their audience. But that's not what happened. And while the uninitiated saw this moment with Chuck Todd as a moment of high drama, Chuck Todd re-entering the arena to defend truth journalism and the Meet the Press way, to those of us in the business who've been doing this for more than a minute, this was a moment of truly high comedy. It was funny. It was hilarious. Because during his tenure at Meet the Press, hosting in the chair that Kristen Welker now occupies, Chuck Todd never had any qualms about platforming Republican liars and lunatics who Todd knew were liars and lunatics. Mm-hmm. And this has always been the transparently pathetic thing about Chuck Todd. He is forever oscillating between two positions, between big grand pronouncements about the high principles of journalism, and then on a different day, in front of a different audience, breaking down the very ugly realities of keeping NBC's synthetic news product profitable. In a July 2021 interview in The Verge magazine, Todd explained that he, quote, doesn't ever want to be in the access game, unquote, while he bemoaned the fact that, quote, the access game is paying a lot of bills in the social media influencer and cable news space, unquote. Got it? He doesn't want to be in the access game. That's not for him. And yet, here he is in 2014 as the newly minted host of Meet the Press, complaining to Lewis Black that he knows full well that without playing the access game, he would be out of a job.
I really do think part of the problem is that the cynicism is caused by the fact that more in the course of my lifetime and having lived in Washington, that Washington is increasingly in a bubble, much the same way that a lot of people who live in Hollywood are in a bubble. When I started going on the road 25 years ago and I was told, well, you're too angry, they're not going to get it. What I was discovering was they were angrier than I was. And there's a sense of disenfranchisement now that I think is seen in the number of people who went and voted that I have just never experienced in my lifetime. And I've watched you and everybody else where somebody comes on and I don't know how you do it with, because I don't know how you do it. I'd be barking at them. Because I'll sit there and go, and you sit there.
We all sit there because we all know the first time we bark, it's the last time we do the show. Yeah. There's something sometimes where it's the last time you're ever, all of a sudden, nobody will come on your show, right? Yeah. There is that balance
but
sometimes.
And the thing that comedy gets to do that Stuart
you get to do some stuff that we don't. Right?
Comedy gets to bark. And I think that, but the weird thing is that Fox News also gets to bark. And I think sometimes the left, you know, the left-leaning media is afraid of barking. And so the comics, you see this in a lot of left-wing media. They will play a clip of The Daily Show or they will play a clip of John Oliver and go, look at this guy barking. Anyway, back to a reasonable discussion. Even though I know that's what I want you to believe, let me have the reasonable discussion.
And almost lost to history is Chuck Todd's appearance on a radio show / podcast called The Moment with Bryant Koppelman, in which he made it very clear that he knows what business he's in, going into even greater detail about how it is definitely not his job to irritate his guests by letting his audience know when, you know, they're flatly lying or insane, even when he knows for a fact that they are. As I said back in 2015, when I was the only person writing about this interview, and again, Hat tip to alert reader Walt for pointing it out to me at the time. Chuck Todd goes so far as to say that he understands that every week, elected asshats come on his show and lie to his face, and that our politics has become a game of pandering to the, quote, idiots, unquote, and that's why the public is cynical, and that all core truths about the catastrophe our politics has become are perfectly well known to everyone in the club, in the Beltway Media Club, but are only ever whispered about off the record. Because, as Mr. Todd confesses, he is a creature of show business now, a clown in the employ of corporate executives whose faces we will never see and whose names will never be mentioned, but who make it clear to Mr. Todd that his show is all about getting them damn ratings and fuck the substance. It was also kind of hilarious to hear the host of the most influential political show on television hoping that somehow, someday, some way, maybe those millennials with their Twitters and their Instagrams and their TikToks and such like will start demanding the politicians be on the record all the time, and that something, a big change might happen.
I'd like to see anyone on a show that purports to be news have to be under oath.
Oh, it'd be great.
Fox would die the first day.
Yeah, but that's we all know out here in the real world, we all know that will never happen.
It's ever. Never going to happen. No, because it's a show.
It's a show.
I wrote a post in 2018 responding to Chuck Todd, who and this was another time where he got really up on his high horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about Trump's lies and how all lies matter, he said. And in that post, I gave at Crooks and Liars 5 video examples from our archives of Chuck Todd letting Republicans lie to his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, including Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, just letting them lie. I limited myself to 5 for the post because you can't do this all day. You got to, no. At some point, you got to push publish, and Drew Glass can certainly tell you that.
Hell yeah.
We will link to the post in our notes, but there are 5 videos. And then the last one is where Chuck Todd says, look, it's not my job to explain the Affordable Care Act to people. That's the White House's job.
Right.
And if Republicans are better at messaging and tell people lies about it and they believe those lies, that's just the White House's problem.
That's Barack Obama's problem. That's not my job.
It's not up to me to tell people the truth about the Affordable Care Act. That's the White House's job.
And that's why he was so successful at Meet the Press for all those years. Because he really doesn't think it's his job to let people know what the truth is.
He can report on the fact that there's controversy.
Sure.
It's so controversial because one person believes that death panels are going to kill Granny.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one believes and knows that health insurance should pay for hospice care.
So, what the hell was Chuck Todd doing?
What was he doing on Meet the Press on Sunday, actually?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Put simply, he was there to do brand damage control because it had already blown up in 48 hours.
Yeah, it was bad.
And so he called it the elephant in the room, and he said that the bosses at NBC should apologize to Kristen Welker.
Yeah, not to the audience.
Kristen
Welker. Yeah, that's whose reputation he has to protect because she's the brand now.
Yeah. And apparently the producers of the show and Kristen Welker knew he was going to do this.
Yeah.
It's not clear, however, whether he was dispatched perhaps from some higher up the food chain at NBC News. Fix this.
Fix this, Todd. Fix it.
Fix the fact that we have to have Ronna Romney McDaniel on this morning.
Right. So for some reason, we just can't cancel it or tell her to go away or do something
until
else.
Until we figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
She's on because we have to fill the time between commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Someone somewhere, and we don't know whether it was Carrie Boudoff Brown, formerly of Politico herself, they screwed up badly.
Very badly.
Mm-hmm. And that screw up threatened to at least temporarily snap the audience out of its media stupor because everyone was talking about it.
Oh, no, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. Blue
yeah. Girl. I mean, a minute ago, they had seen Ronna caping for Donald Trump. They'd heard her say, we'll get you lawyers less than a year ago. They'd heard that audio. She'd been groveling for Trump's approval up to the minute that she walked out of that job. And she walked out of that job at the RNC because Trump asked her to.
That's right.
And now here she is, a member of the NBC family.
Yay!
And she's cloaked in the tattered remnants of Meet the Press's credibility.
Uh-huh.
And she, I mean, what the hell?
What the hell? What the
and
hell?
And she's saying, well, you know, back when I was RNC chair, I had to toe the line in that job. Now I can be more myself.
Yeah, now you're paying me.
She wouldn't say anything against Donald Trump in that entire interview.
They paid me to say one thing and I did it. Now you're paying me to say something else. I'll do that too, because that's what prostitutes
do. And that's exactly what Chuck Todd picked up on.
Yeah.
Now, of course, other people, terrible people, have different and terrible opinions. And I just want to insert here that Fox News is beside themselves.
Yes, how dare. How dare Chuck Todd?
How dare Chuck Todd speak out against NBC executives? And he should be suspended and he should be censured and time out and so forth, because they know what their job is at Fox.
That's right. They all know exactly what their job is. That's
and how
been very
quickly
dirty.
They can be replaced.
Yeah.
Yes. Professional Republican mercenary Frank Luntz thinks, quote, Ron and McDaniel has an insider's perspective we would all benefit from. Instead of trying to silence her, we should be listening intently for all we can learn.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to people I disagree with all the time. It's not an endorsement. It's an opportunity to learn. Now, Frank, if someone comes up to me and says, I'm going to rob a bank, and I said, okay, I'll get you lawyers.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a conspiracy to commit bank robbery.
Mm-hmm. But you can learn from that, Blue Gal.
I could learn from
something.
That. And
I'm
we
not
could
sure
all
what.
Learn from that.
Yeah.
How to get a lawyer through the RNC if you want to commit an election crime. Greta Van Susteren, formerly of Fox, also had some things to say. You know, she's formerly of the failed MSNBC Greta is Great ad campaign that someone thought was a good idea upstairs.
Uh-huh.
She's now one of the walking media dead on Newsmax.
Yep, bottom of the barrel.
Quote, Chuck Todd does not have to agree with Rana, but he should not disrespect that audience and only allow them to hear what he wants them to hear. That is not journalism. That is Russia TV. Uh-huh. The viewers are smart. They don't need to have Chuck Todd screen what they hear.
Yeah.
Is that why Digby's not on?
Yep. Hal Sparks, Noah. Find me 10 liberals who actually are
screening what we hear.
Yeah. Find me anyone who says anything about the Republican Party prior to 2016. And then talk to me about screening people from information that they don't want people to hear. Maybe that's why she's on Newsmax.
So in the end, was hiring a very big liar and credibly accused insurrectionist, Ronna McDaniel. Was that NBC's very big mistake? I don't think so.
No. That's not their mistake.
NBC's very big mistake was simply bringing her to market too soon. She was seriously underripe and needed to age in the oak barrel of occasional brief softball appearances before she was moved up to the bigs. After all, former RNC chair Michael Steele groveled for just as hard for Rush Limbaugh's approval as McDaniel groveled for Trump's. While he was running the Republican Party, Steele told outrageous lies about the Democratic Party and the sitting Democratic president, including blaming the launching of the Afghanistan war on Barack Obama, which is kind of ironic because this past weekend, Marco Rubio blamed the invasion of Ukraine by Russia on Joe Biden.
They never change.
It's a trend. Steele had no problem being hired to front for the racist Republican Party. By the end, he had humiliated himself so thoroughly, not only with taking donors to bondage-themed nightclubs, by the way.
Lesbian bondage.
Lesbian bondage-themed nightclubs. Mm-hmm. That makes it hot.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped showing up to do his act on The Daily Show, thus launching the career of Puppet Michael Steele, right?
Yeah. Famously, I love Puppet Michael Steele because he used to show up on The Daily Show all the time. And he'd sit there and rap and talk to Michael, to Jon Stewart, and act all street and lie, because that's what he did. And eventually it got to be so humiliating and unbearable that he just stopped coming because Jon Stewart started to take him to task for it. And so the career of Puppet Michael Steele was launched. Hibbledy-bibbidy. But network executives used to understand that if you want to get an audience to swallow something, tainted and corrupt, You have to start by feeding it to them in small sugar-coated bites. First, they appear a few times here and there as the sadder but wiser man or woman who, despite having spent their entire lives building the Republican monster machine, somehow they never noticed and never really knew what was really going on. They're just completely oblivious to what the Republican Party was doing. They were shocked when they only recently discovered what those terrible Republicans were really up to. It was shocking to them. It blew them away. Then have them talk about the party of Lincoln. Have them talk about how much they missed Ronald Reagan and how wonderful he was. Have them quote William Buckley. Then after the primer has been applied, you move them over to the full paint shop for the full rebranding. Have them shake their fists and stomp their feet and be indignant. Maybe have them write a breathless book about all the terrible things that they only recently learned. Things liberals have been writing about for decades. Then maybe promote the hell out of that book on your network until it hits the New York Times bestseller list. Then bring them back on for longer segments as a New York Times best-selling author. See, it all works so well when you vertically integrate all the products. You get them on Morning Joe, and you get them on Nicole Wallace, and you get them on the Today Show, which NBC also owns. When they launch their own media company, you adopt that company as a virtual NBC subsidiary. You pour tens of millions of dollars into free advertising for their enterprises, and then bring them back on for even longer segments as the founders or the editors or the publishers of this new thing that you helped them create, that you funded, that you underwrote. See how it works, Blue Gal?
Yeah, I do. I do. And make sure at every step along the way, they all remember to reinforce their overall Beltway media credibility by taking regular shots at what, Driftglass? The extremes on both sides.
The extremes on both sides. Mm-hmm.
Sure, Trump is a monster, but what about campus speech codes?
Huh? Have you considered that? Man, how many
sure,
articles?
Sure, the Republican Party is now a fascist shithole, but what about liberals being so dismissive of their totally legitimate fears of some trans high school kid making the swim team?
Yeah. Yeah, come on. Why are you being so...
Planet Fitness in Alaska.
Right. You elites on the coast don't understand how terrifying it is that some kid in Alaska got traumatized, maybe, I don't know, and you don't take it seriously, you elite coastal assholes.
The alert viewer could not have failed to notice that seated across from Todd on the panel on Sunday was unreconstructed Iraq war huckster Stephen Hayes.
Yep.
And he has written a long and thoroughly perverse attempt to perform CPR on the rotting corpse of the Both Sides Do It stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's his ticket out.
That's right. That's how he
because
got
it. Because, you see, it's both Biden and Trump. They're both terrible.
They're both just terrible.
Mm-hmm. We covered this a week ago on the Professional Left podcast, so we're not going to spend too much time on this. But Hayes is one of the many Bush regime stooges in the media whose career should have died with the Iraq war.
Yeah.
And instead, Mr. Hayes went on to the New York Post, Washington Times, Salon.com, National Review, and Reason. Then he went on to CNN, the McLaughlin Group, Fox News, MSNBC, CNBC, and C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
Hayes took over the Weekly Standard for a while until the Trump team killed it. Then he lingered far too long at Fox News for anyone with any sense of decency. But since the wingnut welfare trough never goes dry and there's always funding available for these goofs to start their next thing, he, along with Jonah Goldberg and Toby Stock, formed a conservative media company called The Dispatch. I wonder if he has health insurance with that job. I bet he does. And just like Ronna McDaniel, Hayes was also hired by NBC as a contributor across all our platforms, Driftglass.
Yeah. He wrote a whole book about how Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein were linked. And that's how he... See,
I think health insurance also has something to do with. Ronna was out of a job.
Right. Out of a job.
And she's buddies with executives who love their tax cuts. And, mm-hmm. you know, she got them a debate. She got the RNC to put a debate on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So they're friends. I'm out of a job. I'm going to lose my health care in 4 months.
So,
we can't make you just a contributor. You won't have health insurance. You have to be we have a contract with us.
Okay. Well, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, if you want to just make her an employee because you feel pity and you feel you owe her something and then stick her in the corner.
Right.
I can't control it. I think it's a terrible thing to do. I think these people should be unemployed for the rest of their lives.
Sure. If there was any justice.
Yeah,
but even Chuck Todd said, you know, if she was a consultant for the Republican convention.
Right.
And could go around and get off the record quotes from people.
Right.
To know what was going on.
Then okay. That's okay. Fine. So getting back to Mr. Stephen Hayes as a comparison, now that he's been rehabilitated into a respectable Beltway stalwart, Stephen Hayes has written a long, whining essay on our terrible choices. Biden and Trump equally bad. Isn't that a shame? Now, getting back to Michael Steele, in Michael Steele's case, the rebranding of Michael Steele began in 2015, thereabouts. This is from The Week, January 8th, 2015. Headline, quote, Michael Steele joins MSNBC. A sign of the apocalypse? Well, you know, yeah, but delayed, but yeah. The former chair of the Republican National Committee delights fans of his sassy style by signing on as an analyst at the left-leaning news network, unquote. All right. The only problem I have with this is the left-leaning news network portion of that, which is, you know, not at all the case. Now, Steele did the contributor thing for a few years. Then he began substitute hosting. He's gradually being cured, gradually being brought on board. And then almost exactly 9 years later, this is from The Hollywood Reporter, January 9th, 2024, quote, behind MSNBC's new weekend morning show revamp, Alyssa Mendez, Simone Sanders Townsend, and Michael Steele talked to The Hollywood Reporter about their new morning program, unquote. Yeah, Michael Steele is now a full-fledged host on MSNBC. Small, sugar-coated bites of poison and the slow, steady erasure of the past is what got Michael Steele from being a has-been punchline on The Daily Show to a full-time MSNBC employee and weekend co-host of his own show. And that was NBC's mistake with McDaniel, rushing to get the audience to swallow a whole bottle of media cyanide all at once.
Yep.
By the way, next week for our April 1st show, we will be bringing to the professional left the fresh and needed voice of Mr. Glenn Greenwald. It couldn't be a more important moment to have a voice like Glenn's on the team. He will contribute his expert insights and analysis on American politics and the 2024 election across all professional left platforms.
Sure.
We promise.
We promise.
On our April 1st show. Absolutely. He'll be here. Mm-hmm. All our platforms. People. That means Science Fiction University. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. There you
all
go.
Of it. All of it.
So, April 1st. Wait for it.
We were going to do like a news roundup because this is a one day early drop. But honestly, this ties together so many elements that we've been reporting on for 14 years now. We've been blogging.
Well, and it drops right into your wheelhouse, Dirk Glass. It really does.
I just went through my archives going, yep, pull this, pull this, pull this. And it is a reminder of how broken the political media is and how we really can't rely on them to can't trust them. They cannot be trusted. I trust my local news station, the Sinclair station, to report on the weather and the sports and traffic and if there's a robbery or fire. But I absolutely do not trust that the national broadcast network, specifically NBC, MSNBC, has anything but profit in mind. And you and I have seen the good people on that network who we like and admire be fired or phased out and terrible people brought in. It blows up and they never fucking stop doing
it. They don't learn.
They don't learn. That's the thing. This is the difference. They do learn. They learn that the core MSNBC audience can be taken from Matthew Dowd is a both-siderist douchebag. What the hell is he doing on television? Matthew Dowd is the wisest, smartest person I've ever met in my life. I watched it in real time. You and I talked about it in real time.
We see it all the time on social media, people singing the praises of unreconstructed Iraq war pimps over and over again. Yes.
Well, and Matthew Dowd spent the entire 2016 campaign complaining that both sides were terrible, that Hillary Clinton was just as bad as Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And they just erased that. It just and it was from Nicole Wallace and NBC. They just erased it all. He nuked his Twitter archive. They erased his past. They reintroduced him as a bold voice for fighting against this whole both sides do it scourge.
Yeah, right.
And if you go on and watch him on social media, he just has an army of people who drool over him as finally a voice of reason. The past doesn't exist at all. That's why the only thing they blew this time was the time frame.
Yeah. If they had just too soon.
If they had just spent a year or 6 months tuning her up and getting her so that she was a presence in the background.
Right.
And then bringing her forward, this would have worked. And it
well,
may still.
And that was my point as well, which was if Kristen Welker had just introduced her as an interview.
Yeah.
And the hire hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the usual suspect would have said, what the fuck is Ronna McDaniel doing on my TV?
Sure.
And but you wouldn't have had any of this. And no one at MSNBC would have gone to the bosses and bitched about it.
No.
Because they know
that
this is a show and that's who you have to have on.
Mm-hmm.
Newsmaker.
There are all kinds of examples in corporate America, car failure, Tylenol, you know, D-Day.
Yeah, right.
Of failures, of corporate mistakes where
Boeing. Looks like Boeing's entire executive suite is resigning.
Yeah. They step out. They go, look, this was our responsibility. We screwed up. This should never have happened.
Right.
And they stay there to answer your questions, and then they quit, and then they fall on their sword. But we don't do that anymore.
No,
it's just mistakes were made. Don't worry. She won't appear on your shows. And something. And it just was also very badly handled by a company that literally does make $121 billion a year.
And is in the communication business.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't be intimidated by the people you see in suits on television.
Right.
Because I can assure you, they are no smarter and often much stupider than you are.
Yeah.
And they just have one thing you don't, which is just like in The Wizard of Oz. What do they have? They have an honorarium.
A TV show.
They have a TV show. And, and just like Ned Beatty said on Network, you know, why are you bringing Peter Finch this evangel, this story? And Ned Beatty says, because you're on TV, dummy.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. That is literally all that matters. Once your face is on that screen and people are watching you who watch that network regularly, you're instantly credible. And that is why, despite the fact we took a lot of shit from our fellow liberals, once you start loaning your credibility to former Republicans to do the jobs that liberals should be doing on the media, in the media, you lose your credibility forever. Because the minute they become the voice of the resistance, you're gone, man.
Yeah.
You and all your concerns, all your interests, all your warnings about forgetting the past is how we got here. All of that goes away. So to sum up, I would like to thank you all for listening to this early edition. And thank you for support of this podcast. We really do need more Patreons to make this podcast fly. So please support the show at patreon.com/proleftpod. And thank you for doing that.
Thank you for doing that. See you next time.
See you next time.
The Professional Left Podcast, No Fair Remembering Stuff Tuesday edition, is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2024-25, DGBG Productions.